This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
This is On Driven, Joy 94.9's multicultural show with Mark and Hugh. On Driven represents peace and understanding in our multicultural GLBTIQ community. If you have any comments on the program or would like to ask any questions, you can contact us in the following ways. Facebook, On Driven on Joy 949, SMS 0427 Joy 949, or email onair at joy.org.au.
In today's show, we're talking to Rob. Rob is a local Aussie who's a doctor of Chinese medicine, a natural therapist, and runs detox and health retreat weekends, as well as boot camps. He has written many magazine articles on health, is also a playwright for youth education, and a winner of a 2009 Australian Achievement Awards. A very busy guy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Joy 94.9, and that was the beautiful Sia and David Guetta. Titanium.
And it was actually picked by Rob, our guest.
It was indeed. So welcome to the show, Rob.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
So why choose that song?
Good afternoon, listeners. I think that song's brilliant. I just think, you know, if we look after ourselves, and I think we can all be as strong as steel, and you too can be titanium.
Oh, well, that's good. Yeah. That's a nice introduction to what we're going to talk about.
It is, yes. Indeed. So let's get a bit of background about you before we get into the detail of this, the story. So whereabouts are you from?
I've just got to get the man of steel out of my head down, and I'll be fine. Okay. Right, I'm ready now.
Good. So where are you from?
Okay, I was born and raised in Melbourne.
Yeah.
In the northwest. Uh-huh. Then I was acting from when I was young, since I was 8. And then came year 12, and it was like making those decisions as to what to do.
Uh-huh. What were you acting in when you were 8 years old?
All sorts of things, like all the, you know, Halifax and Halifax FP, Blue Healers.
On the television you were acting. Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought you were talking about local plays or school plays.
Yeah, I was doing that too.
Okay.
And then came year 12, and it's that big thing of, you know, what do you do? You know, yeah. And my scores and everything were quite good, and I thought, I think I want to, you know, persevere the health and... So I got into Chinese medicine, which was great. And still
it's a big move from acting to Chinese medicine.
It was. It went from acting to Chinese medicine, back to producing and acting. So it was a
mixture.
Quite a great journey.
Okay. So what was the attraction to Chinese medicine?
Well, I got glandular fever in year 11. And was told that it was going to take me 6 months to get better.
Oh.
And it was basically, you know, lying in bed, lots of fluids, and that's it, you know, just let it. Then I was introduced to Chinese medicine, and within, I think, 4 to 6 weeks was back to normal and feeling great.
So let's go back to your upbringing in North Melbourne.
Northwest Melbourne.
Northwest Melbourne. Being an actor at school, mm-hmm. How did the other children treat you?
That was actually really good because I was quite a weighty kid. So normally, you know, you'd be bullied and hounded, but, you know, I sort of skipped all of that because it was like, oh...
You're famous.
Rob's on that commercial, and Rob's on that show, and so I sort of skipped the bullying, but which, you know, that can open up a whole new can of worms. Mm-hmm. But I was very fortunate that didn't have to go through all of that.
Right. What about at home? I mean, do you have brothers and sisters?
Yes, I grew up with an older brother and an older sister.
So, what did they think about you being famous.
Oh, I wasn't so much. I wouldn't say famous.
Or on, well, on the television and all these shows.
Oh, it was great. Very supportive. Yeah. Yeah, it was great.
Who encouraged you to get into acting?
I think it was a choice that I made. And then my dad, you know, had to drive me everywhere. So I don't think he quite enjoyed that. It was like, you've got to drive me here and you've got to drive me there. And so, but yeah, he was very supportive and still is very supportive. He's a great man.
How come you didn't pursue acting as a career?
Well, I just thought you know, year 12, my scores were really good and I just wanted to, you know, have something else under my belt because jobs in the acting world are very few and far between. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted something secure and something that I had a passion for. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it went from, you know, wanting to study law, which I still want to do.
You still want to do?
I still want to study law part-time. I don't know when, but definitely in this lifetime. Then I wanted to be a chef. And, you know, and then, yeah, Chinese medicine came up and it was like, gee, it's great.
So, Chinese medicine, as in the way it's practiced in China, or Australian version? This is what I don't understand about Chinese medicine.
Traditional Chinese medicine, exactly the way you would have it practiced in China.
So, to learn about Chinese medicine, what did you have to do?
So I did a course at Victoria University, which no longer they're no longer doing Chinese medicine there, I think. And it was a Bachelor of Health Sciences in Chinese medicine, which during that I did my thesis and research in dietotherapy. So diet and correcting ailments and illness and dis-ease with correction in diet, which is what I really enjoy doing now.
So what's the attraction to Chinese medicine? I mean, why?
Well, Chinese medicine is, you know, dates back to, you know, formulas that I still use. You know, we used 3,000 years ago in the old classical texts. It's a, you know, holistic way of healing. What I really like is that it tailors treatments to each person's specific needs. Right. So, you know, yourself, Hugh, you could come in and you could have a cold and Mark comes in with a cold as well. But the treatment plan that I would use for Hugh would be completely different to the treatment plan I'd use for Mark. So you're treating according to how you present now in this moment. And that's the beauty of it. No two people are treated the same. Everyone's got their own specific tailored treatment, which I think is the best thing. Yeah.
Right.
So with Chinese medicine, was it unusual for you to be an Aussie studying Chinese medicine?
Yes. an Italo-Australian, because I'm Italian, and with a name like Rob Lobosco, being Italian and practicing Chinese medicine,
was it considered unusual?
Very. Yes.
Okay. We'll come back
very,
to Rob.
Very unusual and I think slightly comical.
Okay. We'll come back to Rob's story very soon.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9. This is On Driven with Mark and Hugh. And our guest today is Rob, who is a practitioner in Chinese medicine. I couldn't say that word then.
So before the break, we were talking about you as an Aussie taking up study to Chinese medicine. Did you have to learn the language as part of that?
Not so much, because with Chinese medicine, you've basically got to learn all the anatomical, the anatomy and the anatomical terms as far as, in Chinese. Uh-huh. The point names, each point has a specific name.
When you say a point, what do you mean by a point?
So, stomach 36 on the stomach channel has the name Susan Li or pericardium 6, Niguan. So just knowing the names of those points. Also, a lot of the professors that taught us spoke Chinese, so sometimes they'd always refer to the points in there. Correct name, so you needed to know
So the interesting thing, you referred to them with an English name as well. So, like, well, I don't know, when you said
stomach
pericardium,
30,
yeah. So
pericardium 6.
So they get, so they're also translated into English
into,
name as
into
well.
A Chinese name.
Yeah.
Cool. So yeah, so basically the meridians on the body. So the pericardium meridian or the stomach meridian is like a river, you know, like a meridian, a river flowing. So yeah, on each river system or meridian system, you have a certain, you know, a number of points, each with a specific function, each with a specific action.
And is that what's being used when we, I think when most people hear Chinese medicine, they probably think acupuncture.
Yes.
Is that
everybody
what Chinese
hates
medicine?
Acupuncture and it's so good.
Really?
And actually I want to talk about that because it's interesting how, like, a lot of my Chinese patients that come, they know what qi is.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas us Westerners interpret the qi as pain.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you have, us Aussies jumping off the table, which I do as well.
So
oh, I scream before the needle goes in when I get my acupuncture. But it's about recognizing that it's not pain.
Uh-huh.
It's actually the qi response. It's actually the qi in the body being stirred up to actually work in that point to deliver that particular action. So Su San Li is particular for energy.
Mm-hmm.
So stomach 36, Susan Li, for energy, increasing white blood cells, tonifying the blood. So, and it's on the, just below the knee. Would you like me to, would you like me to press it on you, Mark?
Not right now. So stomach 36 isn't on the stomach then?
No, well, it goes, so the meridians go, that's a good point. The meridians go through the organ and then they extend to the peripheries, to either the hands or the feet, or some meridians go from the feet. The gallbladder meridian goes all the way up the side of the body, through the gallbladder, and all the way up into the head.
Now, you mentioned that you get Chinese people coming to see you.
Very many.
Now, do they know that you're not Chinese before they come?
They are very, I think they find comfort that I speak English well and that I can order their herbs well or something. I don't know. But they're very comfortable. And
has anyone ever come in and got a shock when there's a Caucasian man standing there instead of a Chinese man?
No.
No?
Not they show you.
Yeah. No.
So just now you're talking about qi. Like, what is qi? As
qi is immaterial, something you can't touch or see. It's like, you know, air or... But it's our life force, you know, and it's what, you know, energy, which you can't, it's not a substance, it's a, you know, your life force.
Okay. Mm. And as a sort of a Westerner, is Chinese medicine sort of an alternative to Western medicine?
I would like to think of it as a complementary to mm-hmm. Western medicine.
Yeah.
I've seen some remarkable results with, you know, helping people with, you know, for example, diabetes, and they're, you know, still having their insulin shots and everything, but, mm-hmm. you know, they're finding comfort and relief with Chinese medicine because it's decreasing symptoms like, you know, the frequent urination, the spontaneous sweating, the ease of mind, and just the understanding that there's something else which complements Western medicine.
Yeah.
I'm not, like, I think Western medicine's remarkable. I think it's wonderful. And yeah, so I'd like to see it as not an alternative, but as a complementary to Chinese medicine.
Okay. We'll come back very soon to Rob's story.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Joy 94.9, and you're listening to Mark and Hugh, and today we're talking to Rob, who, amongst many of his talents, is a Chinese medicine practitioner.
Hello.
Hello.
Rob, a question that I would like to ask you, and you have sort of brushed across it, but if someone came to you with a complaint and you decided that, well, your medicine's not really going to help it, would you refer them to their own doctor?
Definitely. There's You know, sometimes, or yeah, sometimes you just need that intervention of Western medicine, particularly with things like tests and, you know, getting things diagnosed, and that's very important because, you know, they can't just come with the presenting symptoms and not have the blood tests and, you know, all those tests. But then, of course, Chinese medicine can be a really good complementary partner to the Western medicine.
So what complaints, what's the usual complaints that people would come to you with and expect you to come up with some Chinese medicine that's going to help it?
The biggest one at the moment is stress and what I call the A word, because I don't like to say it.
The A word.
Yes.
We're all thinking of a different word, I think.
Oh, really? That horrible, horrible word. I hate the word stress too, but the A word actually is a horrible word. And I think everyone should just take it out of their vocabulary. It's, you know, having that, not that still mind and, you know, and getting that, I'll say it, anxiety.
Anxiety.
So
thank goodness.
Yeah. So lots of people come in for that, and there's great relief with Chinese medicine as far as, you know, just basic things like, you know, introducing them to things like meditation, qigong, which is using your own natural breath to unblock negative thoughts and negative things that are going through your body, and all those blocks which happen when our minds aren't, you know, at rest and at peace. And, you know, with an unsettled mind comes an unhealthy body.
So what do you prescribe? Because you told me that you need to know a bit of Chinese to order all the different herbs.
Yes.
Is it herbs that you give people, or is it?
There's a combination of, so firstly, it starts off with a diagnosis. So you will come in here and I will check your eyes, I will check your tongue, I will check your pulse, and then I will work out where the organ imbalances lie, and then I might do some organ palpation and feel the organs and see what's going on, and then you reach a Chinese medicine diagnosis. But, like, you know, it's different to a Western medicine diagnosis. Like, the Chinese look at it as liver qi stagnation, you know, stuck liver qi, or stomach heat, or a spleen deficiency. So that's all well and good when someone presents with that. But, you know, on other occasions, someone's come in and I've done a bit of massage on the back, ready to put the cups on, and I've gone, ooh, there's a lump. So I'm not going to continue treating them and close my eyes to that. So that's when I've got to say to the person, okay, you know, I have seen something that seems a little sinister. I suggest you go and, you know, get some tests, get it checked out. And, you know, they can still continue their therapy with Chinese medicine. But, you know, that's an example where...
Does that mean that they have to then go to their own GP?
Yes.
And get him to refer them to a specialist who would do the tests, or can you refer them?
Well, I can refer them to the a GP that I use, or otherwise they can go to their own GP, and then the GP will assess it from there, and then basically they will send them off to have further tests or biopsies or anything like that.
But you couldn't send them direct to the specialist?
No.
No.
No. So in consultation with their GP, they will be sent to the appropriate specialists or gastroenterologists or whatever.
Do you ever come across anyone who refuses to go to a Western doctor?
Yes, and they will say, I don't have time. And, you know, a few months down the track, there's, you know, something that's become worse and worse and, yeah. But that happens a lot because, you know, everyone thinks they don't have time. But with a nice still mind, you'll know that there's plenty of time because time isn't measured.
Yeah. Okay.
Just now when you were saying you diagnosed people, you said about taking their blood, their pulse.
Yes.
The only thing I've noticed is it isn't the same as taking the pulse when you go to the regular doctor's, as you know.
Very different.
Beats per minute and that's it.
Yes, very different. So all the pulses are each individual organ pulses. Mm-hmm. So you feel that the pulse for the stomach pulse, the spleen pulse, the liver pulse, the gallbladder pulse. I'm going through them now. The heart pulse, pericardium pulse. So, yeah, liver, gallbladder, lungs, colon. So you feel all the individual organ pulses.
So as sort of a Westerner doesn't really understand that, how do you do that by just feeling someone's wrists or something?
It's amazing.
It is.
I don't know. I didn't work it out. Some just Chinese works, bloke worked works. It out.
You just get taught how to do it. And that's
some
it,
yeah. Chinese bloke yeah. probably worked it out 4,000 years ago, and yeah. it works.
That's amazing. And as far as sort of other types of Chinese medicine, I mean, we've touched on the herbs and the acupuncture and the massage. What else?
The qigong, the breath work. So qi means energy and gong means breath. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just by doing particular exercises and breathing into those areas, you're freeing up and unblocking meridians and getting the body to a better state of health, which is great. Yeah.
Just looking at your clientele, is it mostly Chinese that come to you, or is it becoming a more acceptable thing for Western people to do?
Very much so for Westerners. Mm-hmm. It's very sad to see that still Chinese medicine is the last resort. Mm-hmm. So people will try everything else and then they'll try Chinese medicine last. And it's like, why didn't you come 6 months ago? You know, why have you gone to a naturopath and a homeopath, and, you know, which are all great modalities and all have their place. But, you know, I think you've got to find what works. And then, you know, they finally find that Chinese medicine works and they're like, oh, I should have tried this, you know, 6 months ago.
Yeah.
But it is still the one of the last modalities that people try.
And is that because as Westerners we're expected to go to a doctor and get given a pill? And no, the pill
I think
fixes
it's.
Everything?
I think people don't understand it. They think it's just, you know, putting in needles. Yeah. And a really good book is The Web That Has No Weaver, right, by Ted Kupchuk, mm-hmm. which is a great read. I mean, I've read it every couple of years which I found it fascinating when I was studying it, and I still find it fascinating now. Yeah, it's a brilliant book. Yeah.
Okay. We'll come back to Rob's story very soon.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Joy 94.9, this is On Driven with Mark and Hugh. And our guest today is Rob, who's
Hello.
A Chinese medicine man, if you want to call you that.
The Chinese doctor.
Chinese doctor.
That's not Chinese.
Yeah. But that's okay. Just one of your many talents, isn't it? So... let's move on a bit from Chinese medicine onto. So you've written health articles and
yes,
you do sort of retreats and things like that. So tell us a bit about your health articles first. Let's
yes, see. The health articles were quite good, and I basically write on all sorts of things: Chinese medicine, the benefits of Chinese medicine, eczema, and how that's treated with Chinese medicine was a big one. Irregular menstruation was a very big topical. Mm-hmm. And the biggest one, I think, was weight loss. Yeah. Because, I basically use Chinese medicine to control my weight. And particularly when I was 108 kilos and lost 30 kilos with Chinese medicine.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yes. It was so much that I gave back. those articles are really good. And I was one of the three professional experts to write about weight loss and body image, which is a really big thing at the moment.
Mm-hmm. So how do herbs help you lose weight?
Lower the cortisol levels in your body, which cortisol is a horrible thing. It gives you lots of that A. It also, in some people, makes you get very weighty and just is, yeah. So the herbs lower the cortisol, help your metabolism,
yeah,
and help you get to a very good organ balance. So I suppose I'm talking about the benefits of Chinese medicine too. So balancing the organs and getting everything balanced up and functioning correctly. So, you know, the stomach digesting properly and the liver transforming the fats and not, you know, getting things, you know, getting fats trapped in the liver.
With the herbs.
Mm-hmm.
And then people go to a retreat and continue.
The retreats actually started 6 years ago, and at that stage, I probably had about 18 cancer patients that just wanted a place to retreat and go and still their mind, have no phones ringing, no microwaves, no television. And that's what, so basically I started it for, people with cancer, and then I opened it up to, people that just wanted to get healthier, fitter, and started running retreats and boot camps, which are still running now, which are just fantastic.
With the cancer patients, mm-hmm. were you treating them as well with herbs?
I was, in conjunction with Western medicine.
Right.
Yeah. So, so that's...
What can you give them that helps them? And what way does it help them?
Palliative care, strength of mind, keeping them relaxed with all those horrible procedures that they have to go through.
Mm.
So, you know, that little bit of time away, even if it is the 3-day retreat or the 4-day or, it just gives them that time away from there.
So do you do meditation and different things like this?
Yep. Lots of meditation, lots of visual meditation. And then of course, you know, treatments, and you know, just the beauty of walking to the back beach, you know, in any spot there is just absolutely wonderful to, then you've got like the old caves that you can, that we use to, meditate in. It's just beautiful.
So apart from cancer patients, what other types of people go to the retreat?
Come to a retreat. It can be people, wanting to get fitter, wanting to get healthier, people that have lost focus and direction. You know, it might seem really easy when you say it. Oh, you know, you get out of bed, you have your breakfast, you have your lunch on time, but people lose that focus, lose that direction. And, you know, they quit having breakfast, they quit having lunch, they have one meal a day. It just reinstills in them what they know and just consolidates what they need to be doing and what they probably were doing, but just, you know, with life pressures and life stresses, forgot what to do.
Because one of the words that I hate is boot camp. Because
it's a very gentle boot camp, Hugh.
It makes me think of running around all day
well,
long.
Well, there are sand dunes, which I don't like doing them myself. It's hard work. But it's spiritual boot camp. Like, you know, there's lots of hikes, lots of arduous walking and... you know, in those...
No alcohol, no smoking.
Definitely not.
No.
And
you're putting you off more and more.
If I see any secret stashes, I will take them off you. Definitely not. No, it's healthy organic eating, lots of herb taking if it's required.
Hmm.
Back to the cancer patients, a lot of... The cancer patients that come just need rest, tranquility, and no intervention.
You don't have them running herbs. Up and down dunes.
No. No.
What about yoga? Do you practice yoga?
The yoga and also the Pilates, which is really good. So it's yoga, Pilates. I practice the Qigong. The Qigong.
Qigong.
The breath work, the Chinese... breath work and meditation.
Oh, okay. So how does that work?
That's basically, I touched on it just a little bit before. It's basically, so qi is energy, gong is breath. So you use your own natural breath running through the body to unblock imbalances in meridians and organs.
Okay.
It's really good.
Well, it's very interesting.
Yes.
I don't know if I would go on one. It's just the word boot camp, you know, puts me off.
But you could probably do with it, though, Hugh.
I know.
Yeah, come on, Hugh.
Okay, guys, give me a break.
Give me a kick up the butt and get you up a couple of boot camps. You'll be all right.
We'll come back to Rob's story very soon.
Thank you.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Joy 94.9, this is On Driven with Mark and Hugh, and our guest today is Rob.
Hello.
Who's a doctor of Chinese medicine.
Yes.
Rob, how do you relax then?
I love to write. I just sit writing. It doesn't matter what I'm writing. If I'm writing, I'm a big believer, and I've, you know, written for ages now. But I love the three E's.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what they are?
No, tell us.
Entertainment, enlightenment, and entertainment, enlightenment, and education.
Okay.
So I always write with that, you know, whether I'm entertaining, if I'm writing a film script, I'm thinking, okay, if I was to watch this, would I watch it?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm writing the four education plays that I take to schools, I think, okay, am I going to learn anything from this? What am I going to take away from this?
Mm-hmm.
Would I sit and watch it, you know, and mm-hmm. is it educating me and to deliver to them, which, you know, what will they learn from it? And enlightenment. I think the spiritual enlightenment's amazing from anything. You know, if it's a film that I've written and by the end of it, they're like, oh, wow. Or, you know, just some sort of enlightenment.
So you touched that on education plays. What exactly are they?
In 1997, I started writing education plays. There was a lot happening. There was, just crazy stuff that I was reading in the media about, you know, kids taking drugs at young age and all that sort of stuff, body image issues. So the first education play that I wrote, which is still touring today, is called Teen Issues.
Mm-hmm.
And that looks at issues of anorexia, bulimia, drug abuse, alcohol abuse, importance of talking about your problems before they fester and become like a huge big problem that you can't tackle. It's been very well received from Victorian and Tasmanian secondary colleges, which has been great.
Cool.
Anorexia, can you treat that with Chinese medicine?
Chinese medicine works brilliantly with Chinese medicine as well as, anorexia, bulimia. Works very well with Chinese medicine because you introduce foods that, you know, are easily digested and they're digested, you get their digestive systems working again, and it's really great.
Cool. Okay, we'll come back to Rob's story very soon.
Real people, real topics. Joy 94.9.
Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9 with Mark and Hugh, and we're talking to Rob.
Hello again.
Our Chinese doctor. Who's not Chinese.
So we're coming to the end already. So just to wrap up, What are the things that you look to do with your Chinese medicine going forward?
I think doing what I'm doing
in
all aspects of my life. I'm enjoying. My dad once said to me, as soon as you stop enjoying doing something, stop doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what I live by.
So do you see it as a job or is it a vocation? Or
I think I. Well, when you've got a passion, you just, you know, live and breathe it. Like I follow, follow it with diet and, you know, occasionally, you know, we have our little slip ups and, you know, you see a bit of inches coming on the belly and you think, oh, okay, let's, you know, take some herbs or something.
What about hay fever?
Hugh, I know the one I want to give you. I think you need the one for irregular menstruation.
No, hay fever is a good one because...
Hay fever, yes. Yeah. I suffer from hay fever.
So is there a Chinese medicine for hay fever?
Yes, and the acupuncture points kill.
Acupuncture.
Yes, I needled myself in my acupuncture points for hay fever and I was screaming.
Now you put me off.
So with the Christmas coming up,
I can't wait for Christmas. I wanted to sing a Christmas carol.
Is there a magic pill that we can, or a magic thing we can do to get over the indulgence of Christmas?
A magic pill?
Well, magic herb.
I think if you overindulge, just lots and lots of boiled water.
cool.
Okay. With a bit of lemon in it.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we have come to the end of the show.
Oh, no.
The music is playing.
Thank you very much.
That is On Driven for another week. Thanks to Rob for coming into the studio and talking to us. Coming up next on Joy is Shannon Power with Sha Power. So stay tuned for a great show. Thanks for joining us on Driven today. We will be back again 4 o'clock next Saturday afternoon with more insights into our GLBTIQ community here in Australia and, of course, around the world. From Mark.
Bye-bye.
And from myself, goodbye and have a great week.
Goodbye.
If you have any questions for Rob or would like to know anything about Chinese medicine, you can email ondriven@joy.org.au and I'm sure Rob would be happy to get back to you.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.